Today, huh? Pretty good? Well, that's great. So, I'm going to do something a little selfish today. Something really cool happened this past week. My daughter, who is 5 years old, learn to ride a bicycle without any training wheels. So, I'm just going to start out with doing a song I wrote about her when she was born, just to kind of celebrate that. If that's okay with everybody. All right. So, when she was born, I don't know how I feel about my daughter already learning to ride a bicycle. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, it's like, can we just slow it down just a little bit? You know what I mean? It just seems like just yesterday she was toddling around, learning to walk, falling into things, and now she's riding a bike all by herself. So when she was born, it was weird for me, like in a good way, like just having a daughter. It was something that I really, it was just a weird range of emotions, I guess. And, I was very emotional, which you guys know how emotional I can be sometimes. But I really wanted to sort of capture what I was feeling, and she was just so delicate, you know, and my son was too, but boys are just, you know, it's a different emotion, I guess, having a boy. And it was both were good and both were very overwhelming, but with my daughter it was just different. So she was born December 3rd, 2013. And I remember just wanting so badly to sort of, you know, I write songs sometimes, and I wanted to write something that sort of helped me kind of capture or express what I was feeling. And so I was working in this part of town at the time. A lot of broken down houses, a lot of boarded up buildings and stuff, kind of a crappy part of town, and one of those places the city has sort of forgotten. And so I was sitting at a red light about to turn to go down to my office where I worked, and there was this sidewalk in front of me where, you know how the sidewalks would get old and the grass sort of grows up through and kind of busts the concrete up, you know. And I'm sitting there, and there was this little patch of this concrete where just the grass had just busted up through it. And in the middle of that clump of grass was a dandelion sticking up. And I just remember sitting there, and the light had probably cycled through a couple of times, and I'm just sitting there watching this, and I thought to myself, that's what it's like to have a daughter. Something so delicate and beautiful that springs up in the ugliness that the world can be, I guess. Maybe that's a little overdramatic, but sitting there looking at that, everything sort of came together for me emotionally, like what I was feeling. It's like, that's it. Like the sense of protection that I feel, the sense of beauty that I see in her and in her mother. And so when I got to work, I didn't do a lot of work that day. I think I wrote this song all day. But anyway, this is called Dandelion. You sprang up into the light like a flower through the concrete. I looked into your eyes and fell in love as I held you close to me. I saw your mama cry. Beauty and love in her eyes. Our little dandelion struggling to find the light. Born into a fallen world, beating heart and flesh and bone, our little flower girl, growing up among the weeds and thorns. Your colors fade. Oh, and don't spend your life in the shade. Let the sun shine on your heart, daughter.
sweet little dandelion. Oh, when some may fail to see just how beautiful you are, you may get trampled like a weed. Oh, but don't let it break your heart, 'cause the gardener has seen your word long before you sprang up from the dirt.
Jesus, Father, we just come to you this morning, Father, and thank you for the warm food in our bellies. Father, for the beauty that we find in this life. Father, that we can trust that your heart towards us is good. God, that no matter what we've done, no matter what mistakes we've made, no matter how much we've fallen, God, that you still are with us. You've gone before us. You come behind us. God, that you've hemmed us in. God, that you draw us close. God, that you've shouted across the landscape of time and space and called us by name. From across, from an empty tomb, God, that you call us close. God, that the feast is prepared. There is no wrong counted against us. God, that the slate is clean every morning.
be hopeless without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love. Sling to the darkness if it wasn't for the cross. And you have won me with your kindness. Chase me down when I was lost. Where would I be? Bought my freedom, hallelujah, for the cross. All my shame was met with mercy. Now your mercy will be my song. Oh, the glory, oh, the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Was a prisoner, now I'm not. Just with your blood here, bought my gonna help me now. You're my only, you're my only, you're my only hope. Tangled up this great, ridiculous way you love is the only way to live. There's no escape when you look at me that way, staring like a deer into the headlights of your. And you come with the sun, with the sun. And you come like the sun, pockets full of redemption. And you come with the sun, with the sun, with the sun. With the sun, yeah.
Father, we thank you for just the spirit that is here today. Jesus, we say this all the time, but it's not just lip service. We truly believe that you are the head of this church and are leading us and guiding us. This is not man-made. I think any of the ones who have been here since the beginning can say that. None of us even envisioned this or planned this as what you have brought together. And so we just give you praise and honor and glory for that, credit for that. And with that, I just can't help but think there's things that have happened today that I can't even put into words right now. Maybe behind the scenes that some don't know about. But all that to say, I believe that your spirit is here today. first off, living inside of us, those that know you through Jesus, those that need to know you today can have that same gift. It's free. Nothing special that has to be done, just to say, I'm in with Jesus. That's it. No amount of religion, no amount of works, no amount of bad things can keep us out of your presence with Jesus. He changes everything. Jesse says that all the time, and it's the truth. If we hear nothing else today, may your spirit speak to us that, Jesus, you change absolutely everything. Father, have your way in us this week. That's what we pray. Above all things, that God, you just continue to speak. You have already through a good warm meal, fellowship as we share that meal, fellowship as we talk with one another, a smile, handshake, a hug, conversation, through worship and song, just how you've gifted Jesse to lead us in that way. And God, now in your word, just as you speak beyond any human words that are said, Father, that you would just speak through your spirit to our heart this week. That's our desire, for you to have your way with us. We love you. We thank you for wanting to do that. I don't deserve that, but I'm thankful for it. Jesus, we love you, and we just pray that you continue to speak. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. You can give Jesse a hand clap on that. I have said it before, but I'll say it again. I wouldn't care how famous they are or who they are. There's no other person I would rather have leading us in worship than Jesse Crook. In fact, I will say it this way, and I'm not going to call them out, but somebody told me this morning, when Jesse plays, it feels like we out in the boondocks with the moonshine and the whiskey. I'll let you decide if that's a compliment or not. I kind of dug it. Sounded good to me. Talking about Jesus. Even in the midst of that, huh? All right. So last week, if you were here, I talked about John 17. It's this crazy passage. I just want to recap for those that maybe weren't here just briefly, but I think it was around John 13 that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He instituted the Lord's Supper. He talked about a new command I give you is to love one another as I've loved you, and some crazy stuff that had been talked about. These great moments of teaching. And then it gets to John 17 and it says that he prayed. He lifted his eyes to heaven and he prayed to the Father. He could have prayed for a million different things. In fact, Jesus began this prayer praying as if it was in the past tense of something that had already happened. He was talking about, my life has been fulfilled. This is what you asked me to do. It has been done. It is finished. And so the finality of the cross was in Jesus' mind. He knew that, and he prays for his disciples, those that had followed him closely. And then he gets to a place where he prays for you and I. If you don't understand that or have never grasped that Jesus himself prayed for you, it is an amazing thing to go back and read. Jesus praying for you, and he could have prayed for anything in the world, but what he prayed was, Father, make them one. Not just with each other, he prays for that later. But in fact, I want to reread what Jesus prayed. In John 17, he says this, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, speaking of the disciples' words, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So Jesus could have prayed for anything. And he prayed for you and I, our intimacy with him, that we would be one just as the Father and the Son are one. That's pretty close, right? That is what Jesus prayed for us. And so with that recap, with that thought in mind, I believe I want to answer very simply this morning the reason why he prayed that. I want to give you a news flash this morning, is that you were not meant to live life alone. You just weren't. You can look at the very beginning pages of the Bible and that you were created for a relationship. And this goes so far beyond the husband and wife aspect of when God creates Adam, he says, hey, it's not good for man to be alone. There is this God in the beginning of Scripture that has afternoon walks with his creation. This is the relationship that was desired, that God created you for relationship. He created you to walk with him and him to walk with you. Why else would Jesus, the one that has been from the beginning, pray, Lord, make us one with them. Make them one with us. That's what it was always meant to be. He wanted to have relationship with you, and you were not meant to live life alone. Beyond the husband and wife, think about it. That's why community is so important. That's why we walk through life together. That's why when you get to Scripture talking about the body, it talks about a family. It talks about a body with Jesus being the head and these many members. We were meant to do this life together, being one with the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. You were not meant to live life alone. Jesus in John 17 was inviting us into relationship, and not only inviting us, he was inviting us to follow the way that he made. And Father, they'll believe what I'm doing for them, that they will enter into relationship. And I'm just going to tell you this morning that until you get this, life will never, ever, mark it down, ever make sense. You were designed for relationships, so if you try to live this life without a relationship with Christ, as much as you try to fill that void with any and everything, it will not make sense. How do I know? Been there, done there, got the t-shirt, right? Some of you could say that I've tried to fill the void with everything under the sun, relationships, addictions, sin, you name it. And it will not fill the void that Jesus is supposed to have in our life. Until you get this, that you were created for relationship, life will not make sense. Everywhere you turn, by the way, there will be opposition against this. You can bet that if Jesus desires more than anything, in the last moments of his life, he prays for your oneness with God, your oneness with him, the Son, your oneness with walking life in the Spirit. If that's his desire the most, you can bet that there is opposition against your life to become one with God. Everywhere you turn, there will be opposition. The reason why? Is because if you get this fact, I'm not telling you life will be easy. I'm not telling you this is seven steps to a better you. I'm not here to fix all the problems that if you just give your life to Jesus, everything will be okay. Listen to me this morning in case you misunderstand. If you give your life to Jesus, in fact, your life in this place will probably be harder. The Word says that. There is no health and wealth found here. I can't tell you that if you give your life to Jesus, you wake up in the morning and all your earthly problems are fixed. May not be. In fact, you may carry some of the very problems you have now to the day that you die. But Jesus still loves you. He still made a way, and he's promised so much more than just those things. But I'm telling you, until we get this fact, until we understand that we were made for relationship, life will not make sense. And here is why there is opposition. When you get that fact and you begin to walk with God, you will be dangerous for good. Think about that for just a second. Some of you walk in this morning and say, man, I've been dangerous my whole life. I've served this much time. I've done this much, you know, of that. I've done this many bad things. I've been dangerous. What if you were dangerous for good? You see, there's a real enemy that is opposed to you walking with God. But I want to share a verse with you this morning, just one verse of Scripture that I think follows up John 17 so well. It's in the book of Galatians. It is chapter 2, verse 20. It's a verse you've probably heard a billion times. But I want you to listen to it with a new heart this morning, fresh ears, and just say, God, would you speak through your word? In fact, let's pray that right now. Father, we've heard this verse so many times. If we've had any relationship at all with you or any relationship with the church, this is a verse that may have been on a bookmark or on a painted on a wall or one that we were required to memorize or just maybe even a favorite verse. But Father, I pray that we hear the heart behind it this morning, that why you would lead us from John 17 to a verse like this today, it is the key to walking with you. And if we know you, there's so much found in this one verse that Jesus, your last prayers for us that we have recorded, you prayed for this, for oneness with you, that we would walk with you, that you would live through us, Jesus, so that the world will know that the Father had sent you. So I pray that as many times as we've heard this, that we will hear it fresh today, that Holy Spirit, beyond my words, you will speak to our hearts. And so, Jesus, that's what we pray in your name. Amen. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you've been around any times that I taught, you know I love the message as well. The message reads this way: Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going back on that. Paul sounds like somebody that got this unity that Jesus was praying for. Paul understood that, by the way, listen to this. This is a cool little fact I didn't plan on sharing this morning, but we'll trust this is the Spirit. I've been reading in the book of Acts lately. That's what I've been trying to read personally. And I just read this morning when a guy by the name of Saul, that we know is this Paul who wrote this letter, encountered Jesus. Some of you right now this morning may say, you know what? I'm right in the middle of my best life right now, sinning. Like I've got it down pat. Like I don't need this Jesus thing. And some of you may even look at somebody and say, yeah, he's talking about that dude. There's no hope for him. There's no hope for her, right? Do you know when Saul met Jesus that it says this? I love this part. I read it this morning. It says, while he was still saying murderous threats, he was in the midst of his very opposition against the way, this thing they called the way, which is Jesus. While he was in the midst of that, Jesus encountered him. Can I tell you this morning, if you're here, you're breathing, you got a pulse, everybody check it for me. Check it. Go ahead. If you don't have one, raise your hand. We'll get you some help. But if you do have one, there's a purpose for you being here this morning. And I pray it's beyond chicken pot pie, as good as that is. I pray that it's for you to hear fresh and anew that Jesus wants a relationship with you. And he doesn't want it just to be your ticket to heaven. That's great. That's wonderful. That's awesome. But he wants to walk with you. He prayed that for you. Get that. That God in the flesh prayed for you and says, will you just help them? Just help them get this, that I want to walk with them. I don't want it to be a one-time deal. I want it every day for them to pray. What are you inviting me into today, God? To walk with me, to listen to me, to let me live through them. And so Paul, this guy who had this dramatic conversion, that in the midst of going after the church, in fact, it continues on in that passage and it says this, that where he left from getting orders of saying, I'm going to go and arrest these people. I'm going to bring them back to you. You imagine when he returns and he's now preaching and saying, by the way, Jesus is the way. Can you imagine the looks? In fact, it said, is this not the guy that was arresting people? What gives? He met Jesus. He understood and he walked in him. He understood this unity. And so when a guy like Saul, who turns into Paul, says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is a guy that gets oneness with God. In fact, so much so that he says this, yes, God cares about me as a person. He created me as an individual, but I am so much in the background now that it is Jesus that is living through me. I really don't even live anymore. I am so one with him. By the way, it doesn't mean that he was perfect. Paul is the same guy that said, man, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. I just keep on screwing up. It's okay. You're going to mess up. You are going to miss. I've sinned 72 probably times in the last hour we've been out here. I don't know, maybe more. I'm not perfect, but Christ who lives in me is. If I allow him to work through me, if I allow him to go to the forefront and Keith kind of take the back seat and say, you know what, you're in charge, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to walk with you, I'm going to listen to you, that's when good things happen in my life. Doesn't mean there won't be opposition, doesn't mean that all my problems are fixed, but he is living through me. There is this idea of just oneness with him and walking with him. Man, when I do that, when I listen, it goes so much better. Anybody with me on that? And when you listen and you walk with him, it just goes so much better. Paul is somebody that sounds like he gets this unity thing. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There is a guy that Jesse, he loves this statement too. But he says it in this way, that God has rigged the world in such a way as to where you can't make it without him. That may sound cruel at first. I mean, God, you're really going to make this life so hard that I have to turn to you. But do you know that that is the deepest sentiment of love that there is? This world, you are not meant to go alone. You are meant for the unity that Jesus prayed for. You cannot make it make sense without Jesus. You cannot make it alone. In fact, the same guy says this, John Eldridge, the point of encountering things in your life that you cannot handle is you are forced to face them with Jesus. Man, if we could just grasp this, if we could see this, you can try to tackle life all you want to without him to no avail, or you can invite him in. Man, some of you are beating your head against a wall right now because you've tried everything under the sun except Jesus, and it just won't make sense. But what if you said, enough of that. I'm going to give in to Jesus' prayer, and I'm going to walk with him. Father, what story are you inviting me into? Are you inviting me into a relationship like this guy says? I believe that Jesus prayed this, and I'm going to shut up with this. I believe after looking at John 17 last week and after God leading me to this verse this week, I honestly believe that Jesus knew then and knows now that you cannot be whole and healed without him. You just can't. If you feel like right now that there is any other way, listen to me this morning. You cannot be whole. You cannot be who God created you to be without Jesus living inside of you. You just can't. You can try as you may. You can fill it with anything. You can fill that void. I think it's easy to admit and say there is a void, right? There's something inside of us that needs something more. There is nothing that we've tried to fill it with. It's the old square peg in a round hole. It just doesn't work. But there is something when we let Jesus take that over that makes sense and say, yes, this is what I was created for. You cannot be whole and healed without him. Can I ask you to pray with me in this way this morning? Just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second. I want to ask a question boldly in this way. I don't want you to answer out loud. This is between you and God. But what have you been trying to fill that void with? Is it a person? Is it a place? Is it a addiction? You know it's there. You know the void is there where it's, God, just something doesn't feel right. Name it. Not right now in your mind, what is that? An even bolder part of the prayer would be, God, will you help me lay that down? Can I just give that to you today? I've been maybe at times trying to lay it down, but then I'll pick it right back. Can you just maybe picture yourself laying that down today? And the beauty is you don't have to just lay it down and walk away empty-handed, but you can lay it down and walk away with what Jesus prayed over your life. Will you just, Father, will you just make them one with us? I mean, Jesus literally died for your intimacy with Him and the Father. He prayed and then made a way. Can you picture laying down that person that you cling to, thinking if this relationship would happen, everything would be made right? Can you lay down this addiction and say, man, if I just lay that down and pick up Jesus and say it? By the way, I'm telling you, this isn't some religious prayer. This isn't some pray this prayer and everything's going to be all right, but you won't be alone. He'll walk with you in an intimate walk. He'll walk with you and guide your steps. So that maybe, too, one day we could be like Paul and say, you know what, man, I don't even feel like I'm in the forefront anymore. I think I'm in the background, and it's Jesus who lives in me. That's when the world starts to notice. That's when something beautiful like this happens out here. Jesus did this. It's not us. Nobody out here, not one single person created this. It's the Spirit of God. He created this. It's a beautiful thing. As I look around, I see the kingdom of God right here on earth as it is in heaven. People from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds, in one love, Jesus Christ. That's beautiful. Man, I think He's inviting you in this morning. Can I just pray with you? Father, You may have brought things to our heart and mind when that was asked. Holy Spirit, You led that. I didn't plan that. Whether that is a person that maybe we've been seeking out comfort with, if it's an addiction, maybe one that's been with us for a long time, if it's status, man, if I could just get this job, or even the job that we're on, if I could just land that gig, everything would be fine. Or if it's, if I just had a house that was nicer, if I had this place to live that was nicer, if I could just get a car, if I could just do whatever it is, then everything would. Help us to lay that down today, but know that we don't have to lay it down empty-handed. We can lay that down and pick up something so much better, an intimacy with You that Jesus, You prayed for us. Lord, make them one. Father, make them one with us. I think Jesus prays this because, again, He knows that we can't be whole and healed without Him. And He knows that if the intimacy is there, if we would just walk with You, then the rest will take care of itself. It doesn't mean everything will be perfect by this life standard, but it does mean we won't have to walk through this life alone. You've called us into such a deeper relationship than we even grasp so many times, Jesus. Let us be like Paul. Let us hit a place in our life where we say, you know what, it's not even really me that's out forefront anymore, but Jesus, You're leading this thing. You are leading my life. I am walking with You. I am intimate with You just like You prayed for, Jesus. Doesn't mean we won't sin. It doesn't mean we won't miss the mark. Let no one be confused of that. We still need grace. We still need mercy. We still need compassion. Every minute, every moment of the day we fall short. Jesus, that's what Your grace is for. Father, we just want to walk with You. I think, I believe this with all my heart, that Jesus, if You would help us, if You would draw us into a deeper relationship with You. Some need to be called this morning just into relationship to begin with. If it's yet to start, that today would be the day. Father, if we've already been walking, call us deeper still. Help us to walk with You. Father, that's when things will make sense. It won't be the three steps I need to do to be just a better person. It doesn't work like that. You're so unpredictable. You just want us to walk with You and just follow Your lead day after day. That's it, that we just follow You. And so, Jesus, that's what we pray for. That's what we ask, is intimacy with You. Draw us into relationship, then draw us in even deeper. Before I say amen, will you just head bowed and eyes closed this morning? If in some way that speaks this morning, if in some way God has spoken in that to invite you into relationship or maybe into a deeper place, if you would just, man, just not, nobody's looking around, just a head nod, a hand raise. If you just say, man, pray for me on that. If you just want special prayer in that right now, would you do that? Let me know. Anybody? I see you back there. Awesome. I want to pray that over you as Jesse comes. Father, there are several that would say, yep, that's me this morning. Whether that be first-time relationship, whether that be just a deeper walk with you, help us to know that, Father, that you not only long for that, but you created a way, Jesus, for that. You have already invited us in. Father, there's a seat at the table for us, and we thank you for that. We would all say we don't deserve that. We know that. It's nothing special about us except, Jesus, you created us for a relationship. All we got to do is just say yes and come on in for that. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for that. I pray for those who said, especially today, yep, that's me. Would you just bless them? Let them know that you care, that you love them. And God, again, that you've made a way. And so, Jesus, we love you. We thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Song of love, oh,
very fun. Wait.